Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, good people, to another episode of the Bad Signals Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 26th. Is that the date, Steve?
That is the date, April 26th, 11 days from tax day. So, you know, I got it down.
11 days after tax day.
That's true. All right. Sorry to clarify that.
Steve's having some issues compiling his bets for the IRS because the IRS is not going to know that he's going to win it on some $15,000, just like mega baseball, NBA, NFL draft parlay. But we are here at the Bad Signal Podcast to help you through that. And as always, it is sponsored by the good people at Better Edge. Get the edge with no fee sports betting. Steve has done very well recently. I have been on a absolute heater with baseball. I cleaned up the last couple of weeks. I did decide, in honor of Willie G, to bet a puck line, and I lost in the last second. It was like the San Jose Sharks. Oh, it was the Las Vegas Knights against the San Jose Sharks, and they were favored by like minus 330 on the money line. I was like, oh, -1.5 on the puck line. That's an easy one. And they got a garbage time goal. San Jose did, and I lost my $40, which kind of sucked.
Hockey is tough with that. Like, hockey's so, like, the thing about the NHL is that they're like plus 300 underdogs that win every night.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So it's very hard. And like, if you're going to take the -1.5 could be your best friend, or it could kill you. Cause the empty net goals that they happened in the last like 12 seconds to
12 seconds of the game. I know. Oh, I know.
It's soul crushing to watch. Just take the Oilers over every single time. And you'll probably come out with money. A lot of the time, every time I look, they hit an over. It's ridiculous.
Every time that I fade the Boston Red Sox, I win. That is my new favorite bet of the season.
Is fading the Red Sox.
Fading the Red Sox. I took your bet on Orioles. It was +200 on Better
like
Edge.
It was like
202 or something. I won about $200 with that. I bet 75 on the Pirates money line.
I saw that. That was a nice hit.
Yep. I think that was a nice hit. That capped out that I made $300 in 2 days. I got I'm playing it safe today. I'm doing Marlins money line. It's -125 over the Washington Nationals.
That's what you're doing today.
I need to get my bank, because I go in, I cash out, and then I gotta get things rolling.
Get things moving again. Yeah, like I had a great first like week and a half, and then last weekend everything starts coming down to the back to the mean a little bit. So I've been losing, I've lost some heart.
Regressing back to the mean.
Regressing back to the mean.
That's the official mathematical business school term.
Yeah. And like, and I've had some like tough ones too. Like, I've had some tough losses where it's like yesterday I had Guardians or Cleveland baseball team, whatever you want to call them. I had them on the money line for the first five.
Yeah.
And so I had them on the money line first five. And if they just get out of there with the tie, I get the money back. It's a push, right? On FanDuel. But they gave up one in the bottom of the fifth. So I lost that 1-0. I lost Sunday. Sunday was just brutal. I don't even remember what I had, but I went 0-2 once. Oh, the Reds had lost like 10 in a row, and I took them to win. They lost.
And then so I also saw someone comment and they were like, yeah, bro, I'm fading you on this one because typically that continues.
Yeah, I mean, like, nobody knows when the losing streak's going to end. They were favored. Why was a team that lost 10 in a row favored? Like, that, you take that line every single time. If I went back in time, I'd do it again. Yeah. But today, I said on Twitter that I wasn't making any official plays, but I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to take the – I'm looking at first five over on Astros and – Rangers, because that pitching matchup is like absolute abysmal. It's just abysmal.
Terrible.
I'm either gonna take the first five over on that, or I might just go Astros first five on the minus a half. Because both pitchers stink, but the Texas can't pitch a lick. That guy, I'm sorry, he's terrible, but he'll definitely strike me out because I'm not a major league baseball player, but that's not the point. He stinks. His ERA is like a 7.5. He's going to get mashed today. So,
can I get your thoughts on the Minnesota Twins savior, Buxton?
If he stays healthy, he might win MVP.
Okay.
Honestly,
isn't he at like plus 2,000 right now?
He, to start the season, he was plus 2,500. But wow. Here was the thing with him. We always knew he had the tools. He always had the ability. It was always staying healthy, right? It's always health. And that's why I didn't place a future on him because we're only 2 or 3 weeks into the season now. And he's already been like dinged up a little bit, but he plays center field. He's running around a lot. He might get hurt. If he gets hurt, then he's probably not going to win the MVP. But if he could put it all together, that guy might be the best player in baseball. I have a hot take on this. I don't know if Mike Trout is the best player in baseball anymore. Like, definitively.
Those guys go through their $400 million man. They're going to go through their waves.
Yeah. I just don't know if you could definitively say he is the best player in the world because baseball, although their marketing team does a terrible job at this, baseball is in a really awesome place talent wise. They have a lot of young talent.
Yeah.
Buxton being one of those guys. I mean, you still got Vladdy, you got Otani's a stud. You got guys everywhere. I mean, the whole Blue Jays lineup
ridiculous.
Like Bo Bichette, like guys like that. I mean, so I don't know, like he's great. I know Trout's great. I don't know if you could definitively say he's the best player. I mean, you got Soto, Acuña is coming back. Like this is a year. Baseball's in a great place. If they just knew how to market, call me. Yeah. We'll talk. You know, that's it.
You got to go check out Steve on the TikTok. Steve's killing the TikTok game in terms of, you know, all his jokes with parlays and bets.
I had a good one today.
You can see him with his signature hat, matching jacket. His wife apparently got really mad. She needed to make sure that it matched.
She did not like the... No. I had like a golf pullover on. She's like, it doesn't go with your hat.
Well, I hope she likes my outfit. I'm going Canadian tuxedo for the game tonight.
There you go.
Let's get into some NFL draft discussions. There's a lot of money to be made here, but a lot of people are still just kind of questionable. I don't think that in the many years that I've covered the NFL draft that we have seen shifts and moves of players dropping and falling in the top three. It's usually you go into and you know 1, 2, and 3. Typically, those tend to be quarterbacks. Those tend to be quarterback needy teams. The free fall, Aiden Hutchinson seemingly climbing back up into that top two. I think you can get Aiden Hutchinson, number two overall pick at plus 220 odds right now. I know a lot of the different books will change their numbers. You got to shop around because you could find numbers that people will pull out of nowhere. I've seen some of my sharps on Twitter were comparing numbers and odds, and they're all over the place right now. But the over-unders to me are the best value. And I would say the best value for me right now, looking at this board, is a guy that we have talked about ad nauseum and you love or you now hate is Sauce Gardner, the sauce man, the shutdown corner. Is there a shutdown corner in the NFL that remains? Is that needed? You think about there's going to be a run of a lot of talented wide receivers in this draft. You can talk about that in the first round. But when you're looking at a guy like Sauce Gardner, the first cornerback to get taken off the board, you look at those odds, you're going to be looking at $3-4 to one. You know, that's, you know, you're not going to want to get the value there. But where the value really lies is more of that over-under, 4.5. I would take the under on Sauce Gardner, 4.5, because I think at number four, the New York Jets are going to be taking Sauce Gardner. You think about who is in that division. You got Stephon Diggs. You have Tyreek Hill. You have whoever the Patriots are going to slot as their number one wide receiver. When the Jets were good, they had Darrell Revis and Revis Island. And I think that it is imperative for the New York Jets to take talent in that secondary because they're going to be needing it. And, you know, and if you take that under on 4.5, you're going to hit that right there. And I think that makes you happy because Sauce Gardner, that means, does not go to the New York Giants.
Yes. And it's not that I don't like Sauce Gardner as a player. I just don't, I wouldn't take a cornerback in the top five. That's me. Yeah. I don't know. I think that the way the rules are in the league that you're better off, like, build your line first, like, because you can't touch a guy for 5 yards. They call, like, tacky pass interferences. Like, even like Trayvon Diggs, right? Seemingly everybody is like, oh, this guy's incredible. And then you look, yeah, and he's given up, like, the most, like, 100-yard games in the last 2 years, apparently. That's what I read the other day. Don't know. I got to double-check that stat. So yeah, if I'm wrong, don't kill me. But I'm just saying, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm taking a corner top five. If I'm the Jets just need talent in general, right? But, like, what's the sauce for them to actually take a corner, right? Yep. But, like, it's like you'd have to have all the, you have to basically say, I'm committing to Becton, which I don't know why they wouldn't at this point. Yeah. There's a lot of talk about them trading him and taking Icky from NC State. Yeah. Here. But yes. But I just don't, know. Like, if you're the Jets, I feel like they need an edge rusher more than, I guess if your top two choices at edge go off the board, then, like, you go Sauce at four.
Well, so I'm thinking 1, 2, 3 in this draft, it should be edge rushers. You know,
well, I mean, they're saying Trayvon Walker is going to be the number one pick now.
So your Trayvon Walker, number one pick. And Hutchinson, number two, and I don't know who you're going to take. And then who?
Is Johnson number three? Jermaine Johnson?
That's the thing. A lot of these things have just constantly changed. The New York Giants are apparently enamored with Charles Cross. And they got that 5 and the 7 pick. I think it's going to be one of those picks will be Charles Cross. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so I was reading about this, like, to prep for the show. They have to go offensive lineman regardless. That isn't done. But now, like, Andrew Thomas has proved that he was actually a good pick. So he's been really good at left tackle. So you need a guy that can actually play right tackle. What I read was that they ran Cross through a bunch of drills to see if he could actually play right tackle, and they came away very satisfied. So that's why they are looking at him and they're very high on him. But at the same time, I love Evan Neal. And Evan Neal has experience on the right side, like, in real game situations. Yeah. And I think he's the best tackle in the draft. I know everybody is high on Ekwonu. Ekwonu is a mauler, though. Like, he's very good in the run game. He's not so great in the pass game. He's a mauler. He's big. And that obviously could be taught. But I just feel like Neal is, like, you plug him in day one starter, wherever you put him, he's ready to go. He's instant protection for your offense. I don't know. I don't know enough about Cross. And I don't know if I know Cross hasn't played the right side. That's what I know. And I know it's different. And a lot of these guys have trouble switching sides. So if I'm the Giants, I'm taking Evan Neal, but I'm not in the Giants front office. So at the end of the day, like, they do need to go offensive lineman. And I know they're enamored with this kid Cross, but I think Evan Neal is as close to, like, stock, lock him in for 10 years on your line as there is, like, as there ever will be in a draft.
The interesting discussion to be had is about these quarterbacks that obviously a lot of people saying, okay, so hold out and wait until 2023 and see what you can get. But there's favorites for more than 3.5 quarterbacks. More than 3.5 quarterbacks to be taken in the first round is at -115. So, you know, the question is, where does Kenny Pickett go? Where does Malik Willis go?
Do you think that Kenny Pickett goes to the Panthers at 6?
I think Kenny Pickett goes to the Panthers. I think Malik Willis will go to the New Orleans Saints. I don't think they're entirely sold on Jameis Winston. I think that they could use, you know, someone. I think a lot of people are high on him there, and I think that would be a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about Malik Willis, and this is my opinion. I think if you're going to talk ceiling, he's got the highest ceiling, right?
Yeah,
he has to have the highest ceiling out of all these guys. Like, he might be a little bit raw, and he might not be seasoned and everything there right now, but he definitely has the potential in the next few years to be a star in the league if, you know, given the right opportunity, if he's brought along the right way. So bringing him into New Orleans, is that a situation where, like, he sits the whole year behind Jameis?
Are we dead set? Now we're going to be approaching year number two where Trey Lance is going to be sitting behind Jimmy Garoppolo because we know they're not moving him.
Right.
They're too scared to move him. So is he going to get the Aaron Rodgers treatment behind Brett Favre? Possibly. It's so hard to say. It's so hard to say because if Tyrod Taylor did not have, a doctor that inadvertently injected him into his lung and had to sit out, then we wouldn't be sitting here talking about Justin Herbert. So, I mean, are these kids really ready to be first round? If you're going to be drafting a quarterback in the first round, which is, kind of the sad reality that there still will be three teams, at least two, possibly four, that will take quarterbacks in the first round that won't be used for next year.
Yeah, and I'm not a believer in, let's just take a quarterback because we need one, even though we don't think he's very good. We saw the Vikings do that with Christian Ponder. How'd that work out?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Yeah. Like, you could piecemeal something together. Like, none of these teams, like Carolina, I don't even know who else we talk about, the Saints or whatever. Are they a quarterback away?
The Texans are also in desperate need of a quarterback, but I think they're going to hold out. They have too many positions to fill, including offensive line, including defensive line. I mean,
the Lions need a quarterback too. Do you take a shot in the second round if Malik Willis falls? I do.
Absolutely. I don't think Malik Willis falls, though. That's the problem.
No, people are talking about him going to the Steelers maybe too.
Listen, I think, speaking of that, the first team that is on my mind when I talk about the Steelers and a quarterback is an imminent trade for Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is owed $18 million this year and with no contract on the next year. Do you think that Baker Mayfield could be traded during the NFL draft?
I do.
I think there's a high possibility.
I think he does get traded during the draft.
Yep, I do too.
I think
he's going to be the steal of the draft.
He's the best quarterback in the draft if he gets
traded. Yeah, exactly. That's the funniest part about all of this is that Baker Mayfield, yes, is the best quarterback in the draft right now.
The only thing that I think is weird is, like, have they just been waiting for draft day? I know, like, Deshaun Watson has been on the team for a while now. So,
well, you know, Baker comes out with that weird interview where he's sitting there and his dog's like dying and he's, you know, saying, I feel disrespected, blah, blah, blah. This is like screams imminent holdout. There's nothing else that they can do. They can't. I mean, so the apparently the Pittsburgh Steelers, they said that the second that he gets cut, they'll be the first in line to take him. So why not make a day two draft trade for him? I don't know what their draft selections are. I don't know what kind of an arsenal that they have to offer, but I would say that would be juicy for the Cleveland Browns to take.
Is there an odds on if he gets traded?
I do not know. And maybe we will send this out to the good people of the Bat Signal podcast to go and investigate. Get us the odds for Baker Mayfield to be traded in the second round.
I feel like at this point it's inevitable.
Yeah. So a couple of odds that I think that we can take advantage of right now. As I said, Aiden Hutchinson going second overall, that's at plus 220. Sauce Gardner top five, that's plus 100. As I said, an under on the 4.5, that is also at plus odds. What else did I take? The Bills to take a defensive back with their first pick, plus 175.
Wow.
Why not? I'm telling you, defense.
If what I'm reading is true.
Yes.
Then yes, that is, I mean, that's free money.
There's a bunch of over-unders that we will post tomorrow. If you if you take a look at our social media channels, there's a couple of things I want to pass over to you so we can kind of collectively look this over, Steve. Are you excited for the draft this year or no?
So I'm a weirdo when it comes to the draft. I don't really love the draft because everybody tries to make it like, and this is an analyst or people that are in media. This is like your normal everyday fan that pays attention to the draft the week of. Everybody makes it like they've seen these kids play football before.
Yeah.
And they make it like, this is a great pick because of X, Y, and Z. It's like, you don't know if your team,
you don't know anything.
You don't know anything. You don't know if there was a good, I said this on Twitter yesterday. I said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but nobody knows how good your team's draft was until like week 4 to 6, maybe.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to watch it. I don't do draft parties or anything like that. I get the updates on my phone. I don't have time to sit there and wait the entire, to see who's going to get their name called. I could just go look at a board the next day.
Yeah.
What I will tell you I am excited about, though, is I'm excited to see what the new GM and head coach do in a draft that is probably going to – this is going to define their first, like, 2 years because they need to get this – they have two picks in the top 10. You got to get those right.
Yeah. I mean,
what about you?
A lot of the pairs. Well, I mean, you know, so I used to work there. I was the NFL draft princess. Like I used to work on site for them for a couple drafts in Chicago. And I used to be enthralled and everything. And the only thing that I can say is that by Bill Belichick trading away a fifth for 2 6, he's telling the entire Patriots drafting boardroom, whatever they call it, like the red room, what do they call it?
The war room.
War room, Jesus. See, that's how checked out I am. He's telling everyone in the war room that they are working the entire day Saturday. So expect a lot of draft down. I'm more interested to see when a team walks into the draft and they have so little picks and then they start trading down and strategically just picking up more and more draft players. Like the Seattle Seahawks have done in years past, the Patriots. I don't expect any big splashes, at least until Baker Mayfield gets traded. There is some breaking news that it's across my desk that's a little concerning. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. But Jimmy Butler says that he will not play in the Heat and Hawks game in game 5 tonight because of a knee injury.
What?
Excellent. That is not good.
That sounds not great.
I don't even know when he was injured. And so that is, it's just like, hey, I'm in the middle of a show. Hey, how's it going? And then I'm sitting here and, looking at the slate of work that is ahead of me as well. The NBA, how embarrassed are you for Ben Simmons? Quite possibly the worst excuse for an athlete of all time.
I like you would think to make it as far as he has in basketball, in a sport, that you have to have some type of competitive bone in your body. And it doesn't seem that at all. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, he didn't even show up for the game.
No. Night. Oh, with the other. Yeah. He didn't show up for the game, but he also he said, oh, I would never want to watch my team get swept. And this is so sad. And then he wore some outfit that was your team is in all black. Don't wear a clown suit. He was wearing a blue and orange outfit.
I saw that.
He stuck out like a sore thumb. Irving, one of the funniest things that in the last two games, he was talking about not having continuity or when the team comes together and when that team comes together. And it's really a shame, you know, when they start to gel and go into the play, bro, that's because of you. You know, two weeks before the season, you said that you were not vaccinated. So then you're going through the entire season. Finally, while the postseason starts, really days before, then they finally allow you to play. Okay. So, you know, you're a monster on the floor. Like you bailed on Kevin Durant, you know, and then the season before, you decided that you didn't want to play because you were so traumatized by the George Floyd protests that were happening in Minneapolis. He's such a problem. and he's going to continue to be a problem. Great basketball player. I will put an asterisk on that because, you know, everything that has gone down, I really don't think that there is any positivity from any of the trades that have happened with the 76ers and with the Nets, because James Harden, he's not really showing up 100% either for the Sixers, who are have a 3-0 lead and are stepping into a game six with the Raptors.
No, but at least he's on the court. I know he stinks right now, but at least he's like played games. Like Ben Simmons hasn't even seen the floor.
Yeah.
I saw it was funny yesterday. Like, I think it's Celtics Twitter, because Celtics Twitter is hilarious at times.
Celtics Twitter is the bane of my.
So somebody posted yesterday. It was like the caption was Ben Simmons when Steve Nash asked him his availability for game four, and it was a text message.
Oh, it says manager.
Manager. Hey, and it says, we're short staffed tonight. And it says, damn, that's crazy. Good luck though. I was rolling. It was so good. Cause like, if you're Ben Simmons, the thing is the books cleaned up on Nets futures because they had the Nets like favored or top three, like all
plus
year.
Two. I think they were the favorite at plus 250. And then it was also the Lakers. So don't feel bad for the sports books.
No, they clean house, but they, when the playoffs started, the Nets were plus 200 to win the series. The Celtics were minus 140, and people were like, like hammering the Nets. And I saw this guy on TikTok and he's like, the books know something. This is a trap. This is a trap. Like, you should take the Celtics. And then I was thinking about this. The Nets don't play any defense, right? So like Ben Simmons just had to come back. Ben Simmons had to come back for about 10 minutes a game, maybe 10 minutes a game to get like two or three stops. And it's a different series, but he couldn't even do that.
Yeah. Well, also too, when KD was directly guarded by Jason Tatum, I think he was like 5 for 13. Like the way that the defense, and the same thing goes for the Heat, and the way that Trae Young says that he hasn't been guarded like this so hard on defense since high school. Oh, well, you know, too bad.
Playoffs.
Steve Nash was his entire lineup was, all right, go out there, KD, shoot, and then we'll go see what happens. Like there was no game plan. There was no strategical, like, you know, matchups or anything. And he tried the entire book. He even had Blake Griffin coming off. If you saw Blake Griffin last night, he was like I know he has red hair, but he was like a red tomato last night. They put him out here for like 25 minutes. He got two. I haven't seen 25 minutes all season. And they're like, he is exhausted. It's like whole body is turning like allergic red because he can't breathe. He's trying his damnedest to stop the Celtics. It still didn't work. And,
I got a question.
Yeah.
Do you think like this, I feel like this kind of hurts KD a little bit when we look at him. Like he went to the Warriors.
I lost my mind when I knew. Yeah.
He joined the 72 win team and then he won a championship. Right. Yeah. And then he left. And now the Warriors have a good shot at going to the NBA Finals without him. And he, with Kyrie, couldn't get out of the first round.
I also think that, listen, it doesn't negate good drafting. That's this kid Jordan Poole, who they picked up in the draft, has become like the second coming. I mean, he's having an explosive year. And he stepped up when Steph Curry couldn't play with that ankle injury for quite some time. You know, and the Warriors they drafted everyone. They drafted Curry. They drafted Klay Thompson.
Draymond.
They drafted Draymond Green, and they didn't have top five picks. You know, like they drafted them within the top 15, if I'm not mistaken, around draft pick 10. So, you know, it's all about the rebuilding process, and it just goes to show, which is makes me happy at least, is that like this whole idea of a super team is it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You cannot go in there and have guys who leave and go to max contracts. And, you know, and KD wanted to go play with Kyrie. Now Kyrie they'll stick it out for, you know, a couple more years, but to be honest, KD's like 34, 35. I'm pretty sure that he's got so many business investments. I don't think he really cares so much about his legacy. He's already a top 75 player in the NBA. So does he care that much about what people say? No, he has the rings. I don't, that's just my perspective. I think that it's more like he's the one that's bailing. He's got these other two players that are not, they just don't have the competitive gene. So what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying. Steph already proved he could win without you. Like,
well, Steph is a better player. And now, yeah. You know, I think finally, for the first time, you even look at this kid, Jose Alvarado, this Grand Theft Alvarado. If you haven't seen it, he's a kid on the Pelicans team who like hides in the corner and he plays like 94 feet full court defense. And then he'll like run and sneak behind you and steal the basketball. Seems like a little illegal to me.
Like this
Jose Alvarado thing, but you know, bringing back prolific offenses can be stopped by defense. So, you know, the best teams in the league right now, the Celtics and the Heat, they play defense. So, right. You know, time to start thinking with their head. You can't just put up 135 points a game.
You can't give up 136. That's the thing. So
that's Steve with the NBA.
That's it. That's me with the NBA. That's
yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of business, Twitter and all that, you know, Kevin Durant has this podcast with Rich Kleiman, who I've tried to invite on the show a few times. He's like, he's just too cool for school. It's not really so high in my book, but, you know, business and NFTs. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Tom Brady and the Man in the Arena, their Brady NFTs have just dropped. First of all, who the fuck is still watching this show? No one. No one's watching the show.
No one's watching the show.
No one's watching the show. I didn't watch the show during the season. I had Gotham Chopra on here. I don't find it interesting. Tom Brady dropped the 10th episode. He said, hey, guys, sorry about the whole... Like, no one cares, okay? And you're dropping NFTs?
But what is the NFT?
Exactly. Like, what? Yeah, oh, this series was so great and it won so many Emmys. I want to, like, keep a piece of it. What is the point?
But what is it worth? What do you get?
I don't know. I don't understand NFTs. I don't.
The only reason NFTs are going to... So NFTs, okay, like 98% of NFTs are going to be worth nothing. It needs to have some type of real world utility with it. Like, so like, say like Gary V, right? He's these like little stick figure drawings things that he sold for like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But you buy that. And then like with that, you also get access to like his live events or you get access to something else with him that's like in the real world. Like that's why that works. I mean, now if something happens to Gary Vee, they're going to be worthless. But I'm just saying. But
it needs Basquiat. It's going to be worth like millions if he dies.
I don't know. Like the thing is like I don't know if you're going to – like some people are just like, oh, I'm just going to make NFTs. I'm going to try and sell them for a lot of money because that's what people are doing. And they don't have an understanding you need something attached to it to make it valuable. Like just a picture that you could upload anywhere. It's not just any JPEG. It's encrypted and I'm the only one that has it. Yeah. It's not worth anything. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't bring me cash flow. It does nothing. It sits there. Okay. So unless you're going to show me something with these Brady NFTs where like I will get a bunch of signed shit from Tom Brady with this or that. I don't know what it is. It's just, I think it's just, he's trying to hop in on it and thinks because he has a name. He's a big name. People will spend money for it. That's really,
do you follow him on TikTok? Did you think his Jack Harlow TikTok was funny?
Yeah, I think he's kind of funny. I mean,
I think he's kind of funny. I think he's
he gets it. He gets it a lot more than people his age do, honestly.
His TikTok, I mean, his stuff is better than me. I just don't understand it. I need a 101.
TikTok is not that difficult. I crush TikTok, but
yeah.
Did you see my one today?
No, I didn't. Go follow Steve on TikTok, Steve Armato.
My one today on Instagram Reels is
very funny.
It's dynamite. It's dynamite.
You know what I love? The creativity level of one Steve Armato is that everything continues to be even better and better every day. That's what creating good content is all about. My last topic of the day also has to do with business. And speaking of Tom Brady, the man of the hour or the minute, the last one we are talking about, the Patriots are projected to have the second highest revenue intake of all teams, I think this is according to Forbes, that in the next 3 years, the Cowboys are projected to make $1.1 billion in revenue. The Patriots are number two. So this bears the question. And the reason that Tom Brady had that rumor that he was going to go to the Dolphins, because do players deserve to have stake in ownerships? Like, should that be on the next CBA where a major player, if he has earned a certain amount of salary revenue, should he, and if he is a face of a franchise, like that, I believe is something that Brady is very interested in getting involved in, because you think about that, the Patriots, even without him, okay, so that's Bill Belichick, but Brady created that franchise. And now what's going to be worth almost $6 billion. Why shouldn't he have a stake in that?
Yeah, I guess if you're as big as Tom Brady, you can make an argument.
You could make an argument the same thing with Patrick Mahomes, with the Chiefs.
I think, wow, it's tough.
I mean, that it's just like that was, I saw that, and I'm, you know, I'm always very interested. I'm very Darren Revelle business, sports business oriented. And I see certain things like that, and I say, you know what, like, I kind of understand.
I get it. But the thing is, I get it, right? Because it's the same. It's similar to college athletes, right? Like, yeah, for years, everyone's like, oh, like, you're the only reason the school's making money is because they're coming to see studs play sports. Like, yep, people paying tickets to come watch these kids dominate their sport and like be awesome. Mm-hmm. And they're not getting paid, but they're making the school millions. So in these cases, I was always for college athletes getting paid. But now, like, it's a similar thing. Like, Brady, if Brady was never on the Patriots, like, they would not be the Patriots now.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And speaking of that NIL deals, they were saying that there are now going to be quarterbacks that are going to be worth $8 million in college because of the NIL deals.
Yeah, I believe it. This is going to be it's going to be crazy. And like, that's why Dabo Sweeney is like freaking out. But I mean,
Why? Because Dabo Sweeney can't get a cut of what these players are making. Like, I'm sure,
dude,
he can.
You make $6 million a year living in a state with no taxes. Like, relax, dude. Yeah, like, you're doing fine.
Relax, bro.
Yeah,
sit like back and watch the watch the money and the kickbacks go, as all your players are going to be making millions in the NFL with the NFL draft on Thursday.
I'm kind of excited for the draft. I don't want to be excited for the draft, so I'm kind of excited for the draft. I want to see what the Giants do. I'm not going to like stand by and watch. I'll just get updates on my phone.
Yeah.
But that's probably top of my list. And then after that is, I'm most excited for the weather to actually start getting warm so that I can actually go to games. I don't do games before. Yeah. I don't do games in April in the Northeast. Okay. It's insane. All right.
Well, you know what I need to get you? I need to get you like an umbrella for your hat. I know that you have an all black Mets hat, so we're going to invest in that. And we are going to, we're going to do that. And then we're just going to book you a flight down to sunny South Florida because it is beautiful and 80 degrees every single day.
That's it. Mets Marlins.
Oh, when?
They're going there soon, I think.
Well, it's a date. Let's go.
Mets Marlins. I got to look at the schedule, but it should be.
Yeah, look at the schedule. I can give you some JetBlue points and we can hook it up.
Boom. And then Greg comes.
And we already have all of the Better Edge. We got mugs. We got cards. We can throw a watch party. We can actually do some fun stuff.
Better Edge meeting.
Better Edge meeting. Let's do it.
Boom. I know Greg. Whoa. Greg needs those tax write-offs for the company. I know. We'll get it done.
All I have to do is just establish LLC down here, and then, you know, and I'll just funnel all the money through it.
Good stuff. Good to go.
All right. See you guys later.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.